Hi, I'm Stephanie Johnson. Welcome to the Seeing with Stars podcast, where I share my 30 years plus experience in the world of astrology.
Hi, welcome to another Seeing with Stars podcast. I'm Steph Johnson. In this podcast, I want to talk about compatibility. Are your stars aligned? If they're aligned, is there a difference between star signs that are compatible romantically versus sexually? This is a question that I was asked by a journalist on Harper's Bazaar magazine recently, and I thought I'd expand it into a podcast because the journalist Ella, who asked me this question, really did raise a very good point. If you've been in a long-term relationship, you know that the sexual spark that was there at the beginning, hopefully it's still there in some form, but it's very different to how it was at that first sort of kind of spark at the beginning of the relationship. And so it's a really good point is you need to be compatible in other ways. You need to develop a friendship. So the question that Ella asked me was, is there a difference between star signs that are compatible romantically versus sexually? And do they tend to overlap? So that is a very good question. And the answer is you can be compatible on different levels or in different ways. So yes, there can be a sexual spark, but that's not necessarily a sign that you are long-term relationship material. And yes, there can be an overlap, but not necessarily either. So let's start with opposites. So you know that old adage, opposites attract. Well, that's true in astrology too. So you may be attracted to your opposite zodiac sign. For instance, Aries is opposite Libra, Taurus is opposite Scorpio, and vice versa, obviously. Gemini is opposite Sagittarius, Cancer opposite Capricorn, and Leo opposite Aquarius, and Virgo opposite Pisces. So sparks can fly in a sexual way when you first meet your opposite. You're excited by your mirror, so to speak. But what happens if you don't have other factors in your horoscope? Those very attributes that you found attractive in the beginning can become irritating. Let's take Virgo and Pisces as an example. We always start at the beginning with Aries, but let's go to the end of the zodiac for Pisces and Virgo. So Virgo is very practical, very logical, very analytical. Pisces is the opposite. It's very feeling, very intuitive, very imaginative, very empathetic. You can see how those two things can be seen as opposites. So when a Virgo person who's very practical first meets a Pisces, there can be two things happening. One is they find the opposite of themselves very attractive, but the other thing is maybe they have a lesson. Maybe they have a lesson to soften a little bit. Maybe the Pisces has a lesson to become a little bit more practical. So they meet, sparks fly, but unless there are other traits that are keeping those two in a relationship long term, it's really just going to be that sexual spark, that kind of, wow, okay, I've met somebody who's completely different and I find that really exciting. So just briefly, and I'll probably go into this more, what do I mean about other factors in your horoscope being the glue that then holds you together? Well, let's say you're a Virgo and you meet somebody who's your opposite, Pisces, but you're a Virgo with a Pisces moon or with the planet of love, Venus in Pisces. This is going to give you an alternative connection to that Pisces person, your potential Pisces partner. That's why when so many people say, let's take another example now, I'm a Taurus and he or she is a Scorpio, do we have anything in common? Is this person the right person for me? I'm always saying, let's look at the two birth charts. Let's look at the whole picture. So, opposites attract. There's a sexual spark, but not necessarily a romantic or a long-term relationship one, unless there are other factors in the horoscope. So, which signs do tend to be more compatible? So, in astrology, zodiac signs are teamed into four elements. You may have heard of this. I'm a fire sign, you're an earth sign, he or she's an air sign, or they're a water sign. So fire, earth, air, and water. So just to recap, in case you're new to astrology in my podcasts, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius are fire, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn are earth, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius are air, and Cancer, Scorpio and Pisces are water. Now you are going to be most compatible with a zodiac sign in your own element. Now in this podcast and in the article for Harper's Bazaar, we're talking sun signs. And as you know, if you've listened to my podcast or read anything about astrology, and I've already said in this podcast, the moon and Venus can all also be included, but we're talking about sun signs. So you are most compatible with a zodiac sign that's in your own element, fire, earth, air or water. And the reason for this is that your instincts are similar. You likely want similar things from life and from your relationship. How you express yourself is your sun sign. So if you express yourself as a fire sign, you're going to be much more lively, impatient, outgoing. If you're a water sign, you're going to be more quiet, soft, intuitive. And this is a generalization, as I'll probably say umpteen times. But if you're in a similar element, you understand each other. If you are from different elements, you can still learn to communicate and love each other, obviously, but you're just likely to be coming from different ways of expressing yourself. So also, when we're looking at sun signs, we can divide them into genders, if you like, so masculine and feminine. So fire and air are both masculine, earth and water are both feminine. So you can also be compatible with somebody in a like-minded gender. So air and fire are more enthusiastic and communicative and outgoing from an ideas and, a fiery and airy point of view. There's a compatibility there. Not as strong as a fire sign to a fire sign, but still some elements of compatibility. And likewise between earth and water. Astrology is really wonderful at showing up for compatibility. I believe in India, where they use a form of astrology called Vedic or Indian astrology, people actually go, or young couples go to an astrologer to determine their compatibility, and they listen. I must admit, I've had many people over the years who've come to me and said, "Oh, I've just met this person, are they compatible?" And I'll look at the chart and I'll think, not highly. You can make it work, but these are some of the challenges. And sadly, people don't tend to listen. And I think we're all like that. And that's okay. We've got our own lessons, haven't we? We've got to learn our lessons our way. And it is our lives. Astrology can give us indicators, but it's not for us to necessarily use it as a complete and utter rigid tool. Nevertheless, you can get some hints, and at least you can go into things with your eyes wide open. So sun signs, as I've said, are not everything. What other astrological factors come into play influencing a relationship dynamic? Well, in astrology, we can see whether it's a strong friendship by looking at certain houses in the chart. We can look at whether it's a long-term possibility or whether it's really just a sexual spark that's likely to die out after a while. So it's important, as you've heard me say, to look at the whole birth chart when looking for a compatible relationship. The sun signs are important, but also you can look at the moon, which is all about emotions. And let's face it, emotions play a key part in close personal relationships. For some of us, they play an important part in all connections. So the moon sign being compatible is important. Also, as I mentioned before, Venus is the planet of love. So astrologers take Venus into consideration. And there are also other key areas of the birth chart. As I said, these are called the houses. They are the different sectors that talk about the different parts of our lives. So there's one for friendship, there's one for romance, and a separate one for marriage. That's interesting, isn't it? Because romance is the spark or the new interest, the new kind of spark that begins at the beginning of many relationships that go on to be long-term committed ones. There's also another house that's about sharing, the sharing of joint resources. That's a whole other area of contention, if you like. Do we put our money together? Do we have separate or one bank account? We have one bank account. Now one person wants to invest in a house, one wants to invest in the stock market, etc. So in astrology, there are different houses that talk about the compatibility or the relationship dynamic. I hope this has helped shed a little bit of light on the subject of relationship dynamics. Thanks to Ella from Harper's Bazaar for pointing me in this direction. I can assure you that this won't be the only podcast that's all about relationships. It's one of the key areas of questioning that comes up in my astrology consultations, and it is important to all of us. Yes, we have to self-love and learn to be independent and depend on ourselves, is what I was going to say, and be independent. But we also have that human need to connect, not just with the community, but with one other special person. As my hairdresser, Teen, says, who's my ride and die? I would say, who's got my back? I have a strong relationship chart. Somebody else might have a strong self-actualization chart. We're all on this planet to do our journey to learn different things. If you want to know more about your relationships or anything to do with astrology, you can order a report on my website or book a consultation. I will be putting up my prices soon, so please, if you want to book at the current rate, do so now. I haven't advertised it anywhere other than podcasts. Thanks for listening. In love and light from Steph.
Thank you for listening to Seeing with Stars Astrology Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can visit my website at www.seeingwithstars.net or follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Seeing with Stars. You may also subscribe and leave a review. May the stars shine on your path.